Welcome back, everybody, to Hoops HD. This is our continuing 2021-2022 preseason coverage. I believe our second to last, technically, preseason podcast, but it's our final conference preview show. But we've got 22 conferences left to do, so we're going to do all 22 of them simultaneously right now.
Yes, we're going to spend about 15, 20 minutes on each of them. We've got a six-hour extravaganza for you tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. That's David Griggs. Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org as well. We are going to go through all 22, what we call under-the-radar conferences. Those are conferences other than the power conferences, the ACC, Big East, Big 10, Big 12, Pac-12, and SEC, as well as four other regular multi-bid conferences, the American, A-10, Mountain West, and West Coast Conference. If you want to hear our previews for any or all of those conferences, go right up top there to the season preview tab. The links are all there. We've done separate shows for each one of those. Now we're going to hit the rest of them. We've got 22 leagues to go through. We've got a lot to do tonight. This is probably going to be a fairly long podcast, you know, like David said, 6, 7, 8 hours.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't have anything till about 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. So I've got about 12 hours to go here. We're recording this around 9 p.m. on Monday, November 1st, just for the sake of that information. Should be posted very shortly after we're done recording it. But let's get right into it. And normally when we do these under-the-radar preseason podcasts, what we do is we go through all 20 conferences in alphabetical order. I'm going to slightly deviate from that this year. We actually had a discussion before, I think last week, about the first conference we want to discuss is whether it really even should be under the radar this year. We're going to start it as under the radar. Who knows, by the end of the season, we could be featuring it. It could be off the radar entirely. That's how good we think the league is.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm talking Missouri. Radar. Yeah, I'm talking Missouri Valley Conference. It's one of the strongest looking valleys heading into the season, although nobody ranked in the top 25 preseason polls that I've heard yet. But Rocco, let me start with you. And let me just kind of throw it out there. Who do you think the best team in the valley is, and why?
Well, for preseason's sake, I'm going to say Drake. And so the reason for that is all accounts suggest they're healthy. I think the key to that is Roman Penn. Roman Penn was playing out of this world before he went down last year, leading the charge. They just happened to have an incredible backup, six-man Joe Youssef, who come in and continue carrying the team on their back all the way through March and even got a play-in win over in the first four over Wichita State. And he also got them all the way to the Arch Madness final where they battled Loyola Chicago pretty tough. But now Youssef, who's gone, everybody else is back, including another really key player that was injured last year in Tank Hemphill. And you've got the Murphy, Terrell Murphy back. And so this Drake team, top to bottom, you know, Darnell Brody's a really big matchup problem in the valley, in the middle. DJ Wilkins is about as mistake-free as you can get offensively and a really good defensive asset on top of that. And then you got guys like Sturts and a freshman in a coach's son, Tucker DeVries, that's supposed to be pretty darn good as well. So this team is loaded. I think DeVries is, with Potter Moser leaving the conference, now becomes, I think, the best coach in the conference. So not only I think they have the best nucleus of players as long as they're healthy, I think they got the best coach to go with it, and that's why I've got them at the top.
Yeah, and I really agree with that. But David, he mentioned Loyola. That was the other team to make the NCAA tournament. We did have two bids last year from this conference. Porter Moser is gone. He's off to Oklahoma. Drew Valentine coming in as head coach. 4 out of 5 starters back. The best starter, though, was Kurt Wiggett. He is gone. Can Loyola get back to the NCAA tournament as well like they did last year?
I think so. While the biggest piece is gone, all of the other pieces are back. To be fair, I understand the apprehension or the question marks that comes from losing not just a proven player, but a very proven coach. But I really like this Loyola team. I think they've got enough back and enough guys that know how to play to where all of the returning pieces can step up. And I think you can see them back inside the bubble. As far as winning the conference, I don't like them quite as much as Drake. Rocco kind of touched on this. They are just a fantastic defensive team as well. And I see that leading to a lot of wins too. But yeah, I think that there's four teams in this league that all have a legitimate shot at making the NCAA tournament. And it wouldn't shock me. It really wouldn't if all four made it. And Loyola is among the four.
I if there is going to be four, I think Loyola, honestly, my opinion, Loyola, I think it's the fourth. There's two other teams that I like a little better than Loyola. Rocco, first of all, the team that was supposed to be good last year just got devastated by injuries. How about Ben Jacobson's Northern Iowa team this year?
Yeah, again, so AJ Green back from injury, went down much earlier in the year than the Drake players did. So they were kind of written off a lot sooner, really struggled in that South Dakota tournament after he went down. And you know, the whole year was just really tough on Ben Jacobson's team. They were one of the teams that got tragically eliminated from their tournament before tip-off. They were supposed to play Drake, their in-state rival, in the 2-7 game. And I just felt bad for them because even though Northern Iowa had a tough year, they had a little bit of momentum going into Arch Madness. They had played really well in the first game. And you just never know. Like, we've seen crazier teams win Arch Madness before. So it was just a really brutal way to end their year. But you're looking at this team this year, I mean, I think they're right there because AJ Green gives you a ton in terms of scoring and just heads up, you know, playmaking, defense, everything. Pickford's there, Fife's there. Bowen Bourne's a really good role player. And, you know, and Pickford can defend really well as well. So, yeah, I mean, DeVries, I did say he's probably the best coach in the league now, but I do think Jacobson gets a ton of credit. He's been doing it forever. And you know, DeVries probably needs to earn that still. I just think DeVries has a little bit more pieces, talented pieces to work with. But these teams should really get after each other this year, the two Iowa teams.
I love that battle of the two Iowa teams. David, you had a comment, first of all, Northern Iowa?
It's just we were really big on Northern Iowa coming in to last season, and as you alluded to, they were decimated with injuries, but they're healthy again. And basically the preview for this year is exactly pretty much what it was for last year, and maybe even a little bit better. This is another really good team. And you know, we've kind of talked about three of them already. We're going to mention a fourth.
Well, Dave, why don't you mention that fourth? I think I know where you're going, but go ahead.
Well, it's Missouri State. And, mm-hmm. and this is a team that, like, while they didn't get into the NCAA tournament, they played really well against the top of the league and even knocked off a couple teams that finished at the top of the league. They were really, really good down the stretch last year. They kind of improved as the season went along. And I believe are all five starters back? Or is it just
they lost Jared Ritter. So
okay, they lost Jared Ritter's, but yeah, I mean,
yeah, but Ritter's was 7 points. I mean, he was not a huge scoring piece by any means. I think they could get that. That's something they can make up.
Yeah, I mean, they've got enough coming back and enough like that came off the bench last year where they can more than offset that. This is another team that is really good. And Chad, you mentioned no one in the preseason top 25, generally for the under the radar teams, even the really good ones. It takes a little while for them to crack the rankings. It's almost very rare that you see an under the radar team in any preseason top 25. But I definitely, if they're not top 25 teams, I think they reside somewhere between 26 and 45, these four. They all could end up inside the bubble.
Well, and that might be the problem with making top 25 teams is that these teams might start knocking each other off in conference play. And you know the way a top 25 works, you lose a game, you drop, even if you lose to a better team. Rocco, I got one other team that I'm keeping a real interesting eye on here, though. Maybe a fifth team. What about Southern Illinois?
Yeah, it's a team I like a lot. So Mullins is now entering his third year. He's a disciple of Porter Moser, so it's a lot of the same defensive scheme. That's just paid dividends over there at Loyola Chicago. And Marcus Domask, I mean, the whole story of this valley is like another guy that went down last year that was just such a huge key. He was a freshman of the year in the league 2 years ago. Now he's a junior, put up 16 points a game during the games he was able to play last year. There's another guy coming in that had to sit last year out. He actually, I think, was an opt-out. J.D. Mulia is getting a lot of preseason hype. Should be their starting five, even though he's only 6'8". He can play inside, outside. He's a really versatile player. Trent Brown is really solid and Lance Jones. So I think there's a lot there. Ben Kupik comes in from Little Rock, who had a really good year with them a couple of years ago when they won the Sun Belt. So there is a lot of pieces here and I think a really good coach that's ready to break out. So definitely watch out for the Salukis.
Yeah, and another thing I like, just when you look through the rest of the conference here, the five other teams, Indiana State, Bradley, Evansville, Valpo, who are now the Beacons, by the way, no longer the Crusaders. And
that's going to take a minute to get.
and Illinois State, we don't have any team that I think is awful here. I think all these teams on any given night could knock somebody off, even one of the big guys off. there are pieces here on each of these teams. And that's one of another reason that may help things like the power numbers and the ratings for this conference, all those metrics, David. And that is the reason why I'm looking at this quite honestly as a three-bid valley, not a four-bid valley, but I think it's right. A three-bid valley this year.
Well, here's the thing about the matrix. And I mean, I'm not saying anything that the two of you don't know, but everyone does start out at zero. And while the Valley doesn't have the brand name, and while it's very easy to be like, well, they're under the radar, they might get two, but they're not going to get three or four or more than that. But they start out at the same place that the ACC and the Big Ten do. And if those teams, if seven or eight of those teams come into the conference with winning out of conference records, and a few of them come in with just one or two losses, like if you have multiple teams coming in with just one or two losses and they've played decent out of conference schedules, which they do, that's how you go up in the ratings. That's how, as you get into conference play and get into not just the round robin, but the double round robin, it sort of inflates and goes up and up and up every time you play. Your strength of schedule gets collectively better. They have the ingredients to have four teams and maybe five, but I don't think they're going to get five. But four teams very much in the discussion. Out of the five that we talked about, four could be there, and at least three could get in. And it raises the question, that's why we started out this way, do we get to the beginning of December and the Valley's not part of the under the radar show anymore?
It might be. Rocco, let me ask you, David thinks it could be up to four bids. How many bids do you think this conference does get?
Yeah, I think those four are going to stay in the conversation most of the year. Maybe one of them drops off. But what it reminds me of? I was thinking about this earlier today, so I'm glad you asked. It reminds me of the Mountain West last year, where we had those four teams in the hunt, like all the way till the end. And it came down to a semifinal game with Utah State, Colorado State. We thought the loser was probably not going to get in, but they were so close, Colorado State. I think it could be a scenario like that. Obviously, here in the Valley, they play a week earlier than everybody else. So if we are in a 2-3 game like that and the loser of that has to wait a whole 9 days or 8 days, that's going to be grueling for those fans. But yeah, I think they're right there. I think the problem right now is, in college basketball in a normal year, I would look at a lot of rosters across all conferences and find maybe 40, 45 teams that I'm like, yes, that team fits the profile of a tournament team. I do think these four would fit that. The problem is, there might be up to 60 of those this year because the sport itself is so much deeper, so much older. It's going to be really difficult for even really good teams to get in. And so with all that said, I'm going to stick with two bids.
You're going to stick with two.
Oh, really?
Wow. Drake and who?
I think Drake will be inside the bubble. And then my forecast for Arch Madness, I think Northern Iowa will be clicking and get revenge for last year and win the Arch Madness.
Okay, so you got two. I'm kind of looking at Drake. I like Drake in Northern Iowa, but I think that I actually right now, as I'm looking at things right now, the last time I kind of ran my numbers, I have Missouri State as a first four team as my third Valley bid. So
that'd be fun.
But it's right there on the border.
I do want to mention also all four of those teams did a great job finding games. So they're going to have they're going to have chances to prove it here in November and December, which is one of the first times I can remember that for the Valley. So that's going to be really exciting.
Yeah, a lot of things have to line up here, but a lot of things appear to be lining up, one of which Rocco just mentioned. They went out and they got the games they needed. And the committee, so they've told us, and I believe them, they're dialed into this. Like, they are examining under the radar and giving them a fair evaluation. If four teams have the credentials and they get the wins that they – that impressed the committee, I believe they'll take four. Now, I'm not saying I
agree it's possible, David. I just you got to think, like happened last year, all those injuries, somebody might have something happen and they fall off, somebody, right. somebody loses a home game to Central Connecticut and that's the end of it,
If that happens, that is that we'll get to Central Connecticut a little bit later, probably around hour six or seven tonight. But
since we do have about seven more hours with this show to go, hopefully not. What I want to do is for the rest of the other 21 conferences here, we're going to run through each of them kind of in alphabetical order. I'm going to ask each of you which teams you like and why we like them. Also going to as we go through them, let me know if you think that this conference is any team that is at large worthy. I don't necessarily mean you have two teams that can get in the field, but you have a team that, should it slip up in this conference tournament, you think maybe could still land inside the bubble or right on the bubble as we go through them. And let's start off in the America East, where hashtag save Howie, save our school,
yes,
Hartford was in the field last year for the first time ever.
Let me put Howie on the screen share. Let me use the screen share. I want to put Howie.
Go ahead. Can you use it or no?
And no, it says you've got it turned off.
Okay, maybe you can use it now.
Okay, let me try it now.
See, this is great. We're so prepared for the show here.
Yeah, we are so prepared. There he is. Is he on there?
No.
There's Howie.
Okay, there he is. Howie.
Yeah, there's Howie.
Great suspense. Everyone knew it was coming for 5 minutes while we tried to
load it. That's what we want to say. This is the team of the people, the Hartford Hawks, led by Howie.
All right. Rocco, despite that, I don't think Hartford's going back this year, but there are a couple of interesting schools in here, a couple of normally interesting schools up. Start with Vermont. I really like this Vermont team.
Yeah, I think it's going to be one of those years where they have a veteran team under John Becker. Becker's such an underrated coach. That, you know, Benny Shungu's still there, Justin Mazzulla. Ryan Davis, he's an all-conference guy, Thomas Murphy. So, yeah, they've got a really good nucleus with experience. I think last year really jacked them up a little bit with all the COVID issues. I mean, how many games did Vermont even play? Was it like 14 or something?
It wasn't many.
15 total. 15 total. Yep.
Right. Yeah. And we'll see this a lot throughout the night in these different leagues where teams just, it's really hard to like penalize them for what they went through last year. And this is a really good example. They lost 5 games. They didn't play a single non-conference game. And this year they've got a chance to do the typical summer workout gel. And I think you give Becker more time, the more his coaching prowess starts to shine out by the end of the year. So I do like Vermont to win the league. I like Vermont to win the double. I think they'll win both the regular season and the tournament. But I don't think they're high enough to be in the bubble picture, but they'll keep things interesting, I think.
I agree with him completely. David, is there anyone else that you're looking at in this league?
Other than Howard or Hartford, not really. I like this league. It's a really fun league to watch. I like how it feeds into the conference tournament with the campus sites. But I just think Vermont is quite a bit better than everybody else.
I'm kind of, you know, aside from Hartford, who did not, you know, who might still be in contention this year, but Stony Brook has 4 starters back, including Olenigi, came over from Miami. I think they're an interesting team to keep an eye on. They could be the dangerous team, could knock off Vermont. UMBC has been a story in this league for years. We know their head coach is gone. Jim Ferry, who is coach at Penn State, takes over there. Yeah. So it's not like they went with nobody here as the new head coach. So
and that is a big step up for Ferry. I am happy for
that. From Penn State to UMBC, absolutely, yeah. Huge step up. but yeah, I think it's gonna be
UMBC's won a game in the round of 64 recently, so you know, it is a step.
I will give you that. David, the Atlantic Sun Conference, by the way, going to a division format this year, with 12 teams in now, with Eastern Kentucky and Jacksonville State being added to the conference here. What are you looking at in the A Sun?
Liberty, and in addition to the two that just came in, Eastern Kentucky and Jack State, particularly EKU, they play a pretty exciting brand of basketball. They like to pressure. Sometimes I think that they pressure themselves almost out of winning games that they should, but they're going to be exciting to watch. And with all the experience they have coming back, I think they'll be a force. But I still think that this is overall Liberty's conference. This kind of turning into a super conference, it's growing out of football interests as much as it is basketball. But from a basketball standpoint, I think Eastern Kentucky is a really good addition.
And I neglect to say third team coming in this year as well. Central Arkansas came over from the Southwood. I'm picking them at the bottom of the conference. So we're not going to discuss them very much, but Rocco, Liberty with Darius McGee back. I don't know that there's gonna be any stopping them, no matter how good I think that Jacksonville State is a really good team, but I don't know that anyone could stop them.
Yeah, I think you're right. And Liberty's got that precedent now. They've been doing this for quite a few years, definitely the last handful of years, with the mainstay at the top. You know, that one year where they were in a feud with Lipscomb. Lipscomb ended up getting second in the NIT that year, and Liberty won a game in the NCAAs that year. But yeah, this team should be right around there. I think the last couple of times Liberty went to the tournament, they were a 13. I think they probably enter right around that same spot if they go ahead and win the regular season. I think they'll for sure win the regular season. Tournament, you never know, but they should win the tournament as well. Liberty, we've talked about them for a long time. You know, you never know in some of these A-Sun games, like Stetson's a team they seem to struggle with. They just kind of go down to the level of their competition. They could get beat. So I don't think Liberty's going to go through flawlessly. And I do want to say Jacksonville State got some really great news late in the summer when both Darian Adams and Brandon Huffman, their two best players, they thought they were going to lose them both. They both decided to come back.
Yeah.
So now Jacksonville State could actually get all the way up to second from what I'm seeing. I do like A.W. Hamilton a lot at Eastern Kentucky as well. They might be the top three right there.
Yeah, Jacksonville State, I guess, technically be first place. They are in separate divisions from Liberty, so those could be your East and West Division champions aiming towards a potential championship game.
Yeah, the makeup of the conference is certainly different. That year that Rocco was talking about, Lipscomb was not as good as Liberty, but they were a clear second, and because they were a clear second, they were able to keep pace with Liberty because nobody below them could beat them. I just don't see that this year. I could see North Florida, Stetson, Gulf Coast all kind of beating each other up and Liberty just sprinting ahead of everyone in their division. And Jack State and EKU are in the other one. So Liberty might not lose at all.
You know, North Florida has some interesting pieces. At least Carter Hendrickson, I think, is a real good player there. Asadullah over at Lipscomb, this guy could average a double-double for them too. So there are some interesting pieces on the other teams that we haven't even discussed yet. So I kind of agree that's not going to be a complete runaway. Yeah. David?
Oh, no, nothing.
Okay. Yeah, I'll say like Gulf Coast. I mean, they brought in Kevin Samuel from TCU. He's like a really good Big 12 player. Now he's in the A-Sun. He could really dominate there. Braxton Beverly from NC State is on EKU. So some of the newcomers, I mean, A-Sun made a real splash with the portal. I would just also say, and we'll probably talk about this with the WAC as well, just adding in those two teams, obviously Central Arkansas is not bringing much to the table yet. Bringing these two schools to the table, I think it takes them from like the 25th best league to probably top 20 league at least now. So it's a big shift.
David, let's see here, 8-9 years ago in 2014, Southern Utah won our Centenary Award as the worst team in Division One. This year they have a chance in their final year in the Big Sky to make it back-to-back regular season championships. And what do you think about this Thunderbirds? What do you think about the Southern Utah team?
I love what their program has done. It's been fun to watch them improve year after year after year. And like you said, now they're one of the preseason favorites, and they have a chance to go from worst to first, and not just worst, but the worst in the country to making the NCAA tournament if they can win the auto bid. It's not going to be as easy as all of that. There's going to be some competition in there. The Big Sky is a pretty good league. You got Montana and you know, Weber and some other traditional powers, but I like this Southern Utah team. That's who I'm picking.
Yeah. Rocco, I really like them. Also, if you look at Eastern Washington, got the bid last year, but most of that team is gone, including their head coach. Are you with me on the Southern Utah bandwagon again this year, or is there somebody else you're looking at?
Yeah, I think you look at both Southern Utah and Weber State, the two Utah schools in the league. I think they both just have a tremendous amount of experience. You look at the first eight in the rotation for each, and they're loaded with seniors. You know, John Knight III came back for a COVID year, and he was almost player of the year last year. He's probably favored to be player of the year this year in the Big Sky. I just think all that experience, plus you get a lot bigger home court advantage out there, especially Weber State. So I do think those are your top two. I like Northern Colorado as a dark horse. I think they did some really good upgrades, bringing in a few guys over the summer. But I do think our top two are out of Utah, and I do think Southern Utah will end up winning it.
OK, Hey, you're with me on Southern Utah. Let me stick with you then. Roll things on here to Big South, another conference that's going to a division format this year. The 12 teams now in the Big South with North Carolina A&T being the addition coming in over from the MEAC. What do you like in the Big South this season?
You know, this is one of the leagues that is so up for grabs. Especially in a year where, you know, we're going to get more and more familiar with the rosters, and it's really hard to get information sometimes on some of these teams. But Campbell was right there last year, and Winthrop was so good. Campbell, I think, was playing really, really well at the end, and it took a team like Winthrop to finally slow him down. But Campbell brings a lot back, and Winthrop's coach moves on. Some players shift around. I think Winthrop with Prosser coming in, they did get some good news. One of the players from Western Carolina that averaged 13 a game, he'll be coming up to Winthrop as well. But I do like Campbell just because I think they've got that it factor. Got to the championship with a lot of the same guys. Now they've got one common goal: get back to that Big South final and get the win this time. One other team I'll mention is North Carolina A&T, who you said just joined the league. They did a tremendous job upgrading their talent. I have no idea how it's all going to come together, but by the time it's all said and done, they could actually be the most talented team in the league.
I think North Carolina A&T within a few years is going to be right. I don't know if they're quite going to be there this year, but I think if there's a team that's going to be contending in this conference, I think they have a commitment to that. It's shown by the way they've been upgraded. Dave, is there anyone else you're looking at in this league?
Well, not really. If I'm looking at anyone, it's not a team that I think will win the league, but they're sort of on the same trajectory that Southern Utah is on. Longwood has no history of success.
It's not going to be added to this year, David. I'm sorry.
But they are kind of getting better. And, like, I think they can finish with a winning record and in the top half of the league. And, like, you can see that program improving. Now, I mean, we're talking from centenary level to maybe being top 250. We're not talking about breaking through nationally. But they have gotten better. Other than that, I kind of don't like that we have divisions now, because Campbell and Winthrop are in different divisions. They're only going to play once, and that might be the only decent game that either of them plays all year. You're convincing me that NCA&T might have a little something with all the talent they've added, but when you look at just Presby and Upstate and Charleston and Hampton and these are teams that Campbell and Winthrop are just going to mop the floor with.
I'm keeping half an eye on UNC Asheville. They do have, I believe, all five starters back. That is, you know, it's a team that went 10-10 last year. But they could be a team that could make a step up, especially if a Campbell or a Winthrop slips a little bit. And David, you completely missed two teams that are also in separate divisions that will only play once this year, and that's Winthrop and Longwood in the Wynwood Cup.
Oh, yes, the Wynwood Cup. Oh, I hope you're watching Stalika Wynwood. The Wynwood Cup.
Let's just go on
to the Big West.
Big West Conference. Rocco, what do you like in the Big West this year?
Well, I mean, I like a lot. Like the top three are rock solid, in my opinion. I think Irvine, Santa Barbara, Riverside, that's going to be perhaps an iron curtain that the other eight teams can't penetrate all year. I mean, those programs, Irvine for one, they're my first place team. Colin Welp's back. They've got a lot back. Dawson Baker as well. And, you know, they were right there last year. They've made it before in Welp's career. This is a Russell Turner coach team, of course. And this should be their year, but UC Santa Barbara might be more talented. They were able to supplement, you know, get Amadou Sow, the big man's back, yes. Right? So he's gonna be big. David Walker's back. He's on us, Bakersfield, but I mean, meant to say Miles Norris. So anyway, Santa Barbara's gonna be talented. Pasternak can coach, and I definitely love what Mikey McPyle's built in Riverside last year, being the breakout year. You know, you look at Riverside, Zion Pullen's back. You've got you've also got JP Moorman coming over from Temple. That's a really talented player who started in the American Conference. So again, the premise of it all is Irvine and Riverside play great defense. That's going to make it really difficult for the common Big West team to beat. Santa Barbara can do it in the offensive end. So I think when you boil it all down, it's going to come down to those three. I'm sticking with Irvine because Colin Welps is just he's back for this last year. He didn't have to come back. And I think they're just going to be on a little bit more of a mission than anybody else.
I also think there's a chance that, the winner of this conference, especially if they could, if Irvine or Santa Barbara could sweep the other team or pick up two wins against the other team, or just sweep everybody else and split it with each other, could be near the bubble. I don't think they're going to quite get there. I just don't think that the conference is good enough. But it may be a team that you know, someone like David is during championship week, as at-large bid worthy.
I certainly was last year. They ended up not needing the at-large bid, and they wouldn't have got it had they needed it. But you know who wishes they had gotten it was Creighton. Holy crap. Santa Barbara was one of those teams, and we see this every year, that was seeded 12th, that if they were to play anybody on the 8, 9, 10, or 11 line on a neutral floor, all of us would be picking them to win it. Santa Barbara lost some big pieces. They got a lot back. They're actually my pick to win the league again, although I really like Rocco's pick as well. I could see it being either the Eaters or Santa Barbara. And I like Riverside a lot too. They made huge improvements last year, and I think that they're a solid third in this league. I don't think they're quite as good as Irvine or Santa Barbara, but I like them a lot. Haven't had their media day yet. Rocco, are you going to be present for any of that?
So it's coming up Wednesday afternoon. It's actually just going to be an ESPN Plus special with three hosts. So I don't think anybody's dialing in for that one, but it should be solid, good interviews, and you can watch it up to 30 days after.
Okay, we need to, if you can dial in, you need to ask a question in all seriousness about the Rivervine Cup.
Oh, absolutely.
Just to see the reaction, it would be gold.
Real quick, none of you are apparently picking Northridge, which put Mark Gottfried and threw his entire staff off of the school, and now has brought Trent Johnson in, and a big name, but should still finish right down the bottom of the standings this year. Real nightmare has been going on there in terms of the
Northridge has gone through some former Power Five coaches that have just done miserably awful there.
Yeah, if you're looking for a deeper dark horse, I would just say keep your eye on Fullerton. They've got
Fullerton,
EJ.
Really?
Well, EJ Anoski comes over from Tennessee. When Tennessee picked him up, he was a big recruit. So that'll be interesting. If he can finally reach his potential in this league, he should get a lot of paint touches. They get all four starters around him back. Very veteran team now, like a lot of these teams are. So just could be interesting. And I'll probably be seeing them in their opener next week against Tim Miles.
All right. Keep an eye on that.
They're not going to win that one.
As a dark horse. I'm on the Santa Barbara. I'm with David on Santa Barbara just because I'm going with the head coaching at the end of the day, because I just think Pasternak is the best coach, and you're the best coach in a team that's right there 1-2. I'm going head coach as the tiebreaker. David, over in the Colonial, I think this is a real interesting conference this year. Who do you like to win the CAA?
Well, it's kind of a toss-up. I'm probably leaning towards Northeastern, but I like James Madison. I'm kind of surprised. I think they were picked fourth or fifth at Media Day, that they didn't get more love considering that they won last year and they got a lot of pieces back. College of Charleston just hired Pat Kelsey from the aforementioned Winthrop. I think that he'll do very well there. I just don't think that they're quite up to speed at the way JMU, Northeastern, or even Hofstra are. Delaware, another team, if you're looking, is it fair to call them a dark horse?
Ryan Allen, Kevin Anderson, Dylan Painter, there's a lot of good pieces back for Delaware. I like this Delaware team a bit, not to win it, but I think they're right there. Yeah.
Right. When I look at this conference, it's the tale of two halves. Like, you could see, I don't think, you could see the top five all being able to beat each other, but you can look at the bottom five and think none of them could beat anyone in the top five. That's just sort of my initial impression of it. But who's going to win the league? If I have to pick someone, and I do because it's the preseason show, I'm going to go with Northeastern, but I'm not picking them as a runaway pick by any means.
Yeah, Rocco, Northeastern and James Madison tied for the conference champion regular season title last year. They both pick everybody except for one star back. Tyson Walker gone for Northeastern. Matt Lewis gone for James Madison, also a big loss. Where are you going?
Well, I think that's what opens the door to, for the whole league. You know, I think both those teams would be really solid. Never bet against Bill Cohen, right? The old adage. I hate doing that. You know, an interesting wrinkle here is James Madison's getting ready to announce that they're going to leave the league. I have a hard time with, you know, I think they could, they're my pick to win the regular season, James Madison. But I have a hard time thinking they're going to get any calls in the CAA tournament. And I just kind of see that coming down the road. So for the tournament pick, you know, I just got a weird feeling that because I just love Pat Kelsey as a coach. And I don't think they're going to have a great record or anything, but by the time we get to March and CAA tournament starts, I just have a feeling he's going to have this team ready. John Meeks, big time scorer from Bucknell's on the team. Got a couple underrated D2 people that worked at Winthrop for him. Braden Tucker's back. They've got some talent. I think he's got enough to maybe make a run and steal the bid.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah.
I'm going to go with Northeastern there. I think it's real close to them and James Madison. And I think that's why Northeastern wins is because what you said. I think that James Madison will not get the calls in the conference tournament. we did not mention Drexel. They stole the conference tournament last year, coming out of like sixth place or something like that. They lost a couple stars. Yeah, off of that team though.
And Hunter McIntosh back for Elon, who went to the finals in that same tournament. So you got to watch out for the Phoenix as well.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a fun year in the Colonial, actually.
It should be.
It could be a 6-7 team race at the end of the day. Rocco, let me stick with you for Conference USA, another conference that I think they actually played with divisions last year. They're sticking with a division format now for this season. I'm not a big fan of divisions, honestly, but they're sticking with it. They're not going back to their fluid schedules where your last few opponents aren't chosen till the end of the season. They did that for a while before the COVID years last year, and they're not going back to that. They just got a straight schedule now, Conference USA. But it's still an interesting conference with a few very good teams in it.
Yeah, it's a really interesting conference. So I think you have to start with Louisiana Tech when you talk about this league, because the big man, Kenneth Lofton.
Because they're the only team that's going to be in it in 2 years from now?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
shaping up
the way things are going, they might be the last one standing. So, but Kenneth Lofton, you know, freshman year, he made a huge splash. A lot of people tuned into Louisiana Tech games to watch him play. I mean, just made a ton of noise. And then, of course, goes on to play the U19 event here in July, just 3 months ago, and might have been the best player on Team USA. I think he led the team in scoring. So just all sorts of buzz about him coming in. And then you bring in Keston Willis, you know, an incarnate word transfer, but he averaged 19 a game. He proved he can play in the Southland. And he was doing that in a Southland conference that had Stephen F. Austin and Sam Houston and Abilene. So it's not like he was doing that with the Southland we're going to see this year. I think that's really what he needed with the loss of Caleb Ladeau last year. And you get other veterans coming back, like Kobe Williams and Archibald's back, Crawford's back. So they have, a lot of weapons to score the ball. Conkle's always been a solid coach. His biggest thing is like they haven't really been able to get over the hump in the USA tournament, but I do think they're the team to beat in terms of the regular season.
You like to be better than UAB
for the regular season? I do. Yeah.
David, are you with him on Louisiana Tech, or you want to go UAB or somewhere else?
I'm going UAB. You know, they were really good last year. They return all of their key players, and not only that, they've upgraded their roster to the point to where, will any of the key players from last year even be starters?
Jordan Walker from Tulane, LaCure from South Alabama, Jamal Johnson from Auburn, power school teams players coming in here as transfers.
For the most, I mean, as power as Tulane is, well, I suppose. But
Power Six American, come on, go ahead.
Yeah, but I just think that, and I really like Andy Kennedy as a coach. I think that he's proven, even in his time in Cincinnati, the 1 year he was there, and then when he was at Ole Miss, that he is able to get guys together and to get them to be better than the sum of their parts. They've got some good parts this year. So if they're better than the sum of that, I just think that expectations are going to be really high. I do like La Tech. I like Western Kentucky's talent, although talk about a team that has a history of sometimes not getting the best and out
now,
of
now the yeah, your life after Charles Bassey this year also. That's
right. Yeah. But the other thing about this league is there's going to be a shadow of it over it the entire year. Is this the last time we'll see Conference USA in the curtain and everything?
This year or next year, depending on when all these moves are taking place there. But as of the moment, everybody other than UTEP, Louisiana Tech, and Florida International has announced that in the next year or two, they will be leaving Conference USA. Yeah. There's a chance we are coming to the end of the Conference USA era completely here. Rocco, going back to on the court, a few other teams. If we go by divisions, UAB, Louisiana Tech, both in the West Division. I kind of like Old Dominion and Marshall as well as teams that could be, you know, could be playing for a top seed in the conference tournament as your East Division champion, at least.
Yeah, Marshall, I you have to respect Tavion Kinsey's return. I mean, Kinsey's a heck of a ball player. And Andrew Taylor comes back. I think Jared West going to Louisville, if he would have came back, they might have been the pick for the league itself. I mean, that would have been a three-headed monster, tough to stop. They still got two of the three and a lot of veterans around them. You know, you look at their first six here, they're, you know, mostly upperclassmen, a couple sophomore mixed in, which I like because that freshman-sophomore jump we talk about a lot. Old Dominion, I'm not as sold on. They're going to have to maybe grow on me over time. But I do think in that eastern part, I believe Western's part of the East, aren't they?
Western Kentucky is in the East as well. That's the third team.
Yeah, that'd be my pick because late in the portal process, they did pick up Keith Williams from Cincinnati, one of their best players. And now, you know, you got a guy who's all AAC caliber coming to the CUSA. I mean, he should be able to dominate. And they also got a good transfer in Jairus Hamilton from Maryland, another transfer from DePaul. In Jalen Butts. So they've got some real talent because it's Stansberry, of course. He finds players.
Yeah. I just thought Old Dominion, Jason Wade hasn't played for a year and a half. He was a top player before he went out, and he's back this year with his return. That's why I'm keeping an eye on Old Dominion. I don't know how healthy he is. You know, can he be the player he was 2 years ago? Just something I'm kind of keeping an eye on there for ODU. Also, an interesting new head coach at UTEP. UTEP gets Joe Golding, who had been leading Abilene Christian. So I don't think they can do anything this year, but I think it's UTEP. A real good hire by UTEP if they can find themselves a conference.
If they can find themselves a conference. Yeah, you know, they might be heading to Abilene Christian's current conference.
let me ask with UAB, La Tech. I'm with David on UAB. Could we see an at-large bid should whoever wins this conference slip up?
I think we could. And they both, you know, to their credit, both scheduled well. Louisiana Tech really scheduled well. So I give them a slightly better chance just based on schedule at this point. But I think their metrics will both be pretty solid, you know, barring any health issues. So I think they could stay in the picture through the duration of the year.
David, over in the Horizon League, Cleveland State co-champions and brought everybody back and won the conference tournament. So they kind of pulled a double there. Yeah.
And it's kind of hard to not go with them this year. I really like this Cleveland State team. I think Dennis Gates has done a fantastic job. Like if you look at the level of improvement in the 2 years he's been there, I think that continues into this year. There's some other good teams in this league too. Wright State has a lot back. They were good last year.
Except for Loudon Love, but hey, he didn't do anything.
Yeah, he didn't really do much, you know, but you know, they bring a lot back. They don't bring their biggest piece back. Like they don't bring him back, but they bring a lot back. I don't think they're as good as Cleveland State, but I think they're definitely among the three or four best teams in the conference. And I like Northern Kentucky too, but I don't like anybody as much as I like Cleveland State. Interesting note about this conference, it's a 12-team format. They are playing the full double round robin, 22 conference games. We might see a situation, I don't think this has ever happened before, to where a team wins more than 20 conference games and does not make the NCAA tournament.
That might be a first.
Because when you get the conference, that's a 22. By the time the conference tournament's over, somebody will have played 25 conference games.
Rocco, I agree with David. Cleveland State there. I think Wright State, NKU, they're the perennial contenders. They're all there. But are you going to join me on the keep an eye on Milwaukee bandwagon here?
You got to keep an eye on them because, you know, how often is an All-American five-star going to play in the Horizon League?
And pass up Duke to go to Milwaukee.
Pass up Duke to go to Milwaukee, play for his father. And you know, so that also
it's Patrick Baldwin Jr. By the way, I think we should get named, mention his name. Yes, but go ahead.
Yes, Patrick Baldwin Jr. Comes in, and you know, they got Samba Kane from over here at San Francisco to transfer over, big man with some depth there. Lathan comes over from UTEP, sat out last year, so they got some pieces. DeAndre Golston was already a really good player from last year's team coming back, and same with Josh Thomas. So there's some pieces, but I think a 22-game schedule actually kind of hurts a team like Milwaukee because it's going to be a freaking grind, this Horizon League journey. And when your alpha player is only 18 years old, and I mean, he's got all the talent in the world, so he could definitely take these games over. But I mean, we've watched enough of the one-and-done era in the last decade. You start to see different points of January, February, where these kids tend to hit a wall at some point. Not saying it's going to happen to him, but he's a totally different type of guy at 6'10". But I just think when you have Cleveland State with most everybody back and a great coach, Wright State with most everybody back minus Love and a great coach, and you also look at Northern Kentucky, who's got a solid team, Detroit Mercy, who has Antoine Davis running it back for the last time, I think that's the team most people are sleeping on. And Oakland should be solid in my view. So this could be an awesome Horizon League. I'm a little bummed they went to 22 games, but I think it hurts Milwaukee.
I think it kills an at-large bid chance, too.
It does.
It's a little silly. I don't get it.
Rocco, let me stick with you to talk about a conference we did not discuss at all last year because it didn't play. Welcome back to Division I to the 8 teams in the Ivy League.
I actually started to miss these guys a lot last year, so it's going to be good to get them back on the court, you know, and they actually, I can't tell you any individual players without a little bit more homework, but they had some players that were foreign-born that were allowed to leave and go back to their home countries last year and save a year of school. So I was reading about this at Brown and I think at Penn, for sure, they have a couple of their key players that weren't even in the country last year. They went home to be with their families and took a whole year away from basketball. So yeah, this is really like a comeback in more ways than one for some of these players in the league. You know, in terms of the teams themselves, really hard to project a league where nobody played last year, but we do know the coaches. And so, you know, Mr. Jones at Yale, Johnny Jones, he's my pick to win it because he's proven, I think he is the best X's and O's coach in this league. If there's a dark horse, I'll go with Brown because Cho's back. He's a really good player. He'll be first team all league, I think.
Yeah.
Harvard's got a lot of talent too. Yeah.
I was just going to say Cho played on that team that won the Ocean State tournament.
That's right.
Yes, Ocean State champion. I like Brown as a dark horse too. I'm with Rocco though. You got Swain as our Swain there at Yale. I know Atkinson's gone. He's moved on, but everybody lost. Nobody's bringing anybody back who played last year anyhow. So you're looking at guys who were not playing for a year and decided to stick around and come back again. But I'm with him on Yale. I, you know, Harvard, Princeton could be teams that are in the mix as well though, David. Are you on the Yale? Are you with Yale or
going somewhere? I am, but I also want to say that like this is a very difficult conference to forecast. There's nobody played.
Yes, if you forecast based on last year's results, you can't forecast this conference.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, so that's the interesting thing is, you know, they're typically a top 16 or so league. If everybody takes, you know, 50 spots back in like the Pomeroy rankings, for example, or the J&G. You know, are they looking at like a 15 seed this year? I don't know. Or did they save enough talent to stay in that kind of 13, 14 range we're used to seeing them at? Well, that'll be interesting to see play out.
David, In the Metro Atlantic last year, if you go by the loss column only, Iona pulled the double because they only played 9 conference games as opposed to everyone else who paid twice as many due to COVID shutdown. They went 6-3 in conference, still put them, I think, in the 8 or 9 seed, had to get to the conference tournament, proceeded to win it anyhow with Rick Pitino there. And, are they going to do it again? Does Rick Pitino have your champion here at Iona?
I do think so, because I don't think that playing fewer games was to their advantage at all. And the fact that they did win it and then got out there and made a fairly decent showing for themselves, I want to say it was against Alabama. And I think that they have the pieces this year to kind of do it again. I kind of like them more than anybody else in this league, to be honest.
Yeah. Rocco, are you with him or is there anyone else you're looking at here in the Metro Atlantic?
I'm always looking at other teams, but I think what Iona has and brought in is just light years different than what MAC teams typically are able to pull off because of the Pitino factor. You get Slezinski in from Louisville, Ty Jolly from SMU, and Elijah Joyner from Tulsa. These are not guys coming from Louisville, SMU, Tulsa's bench. These are bona fide quality players coming to play for Rick. And you bring back Barrick Jean Lewis and NJJ, Nelly Jr. Joseph, and a lot of depth. I mean, they just announced that Shema is going to be out for this, I think, for the season now, unfortunately, 7-1 big guy. But outside of that, I mean, this team, they're going to have some big opportunities early. I think they got Seton Hall mixed in there and a few others. There's a good chance they can knock one or two of those big boys off. Yeah, they're
going to be really good. I guess if it's not going to be Iona, there's 3 other teams I'd take a little bit of a look at. St. Peter's, who was decent. Casey Nadefu was gone, but everyone else is back on this team.
And Defu just came back, actually.
Oh, did he come back? Well, then I liked him even better. So St. Peter's is now my number 2 choice in the conference by far. Keep an eye out. Fairfield was the other team to make a surprise, went to the Metro Atlantic Finals. We had a huge surprise of Fairfield Iona championship game. They've got everybody back, all 5 starters back at least. And while I don't think they're going to be there, John Dunn has done a real good job at Marist since he got there, gave them their first winning season last year since 2007-08, and has all 5 starters back. But for Iona awesome. Being so good, this could be a great season with those other 3 teams.
Yeah, I know.
I agree. And I do think that does make St. Peter's the clear number 2 for now. Also keep an eye on Monmouth, who brought in Shavar Reynolds from Seton Hall, and he brought in Walker Miller from North Carolina to go along with 3 seniors that are all returning in the starting lineup, plus some pretty good depth there for King Rice. So yeah, I think that this league definitely is going to be improved, much improved actually.
Yeah, Ryder has some pretty good players on them too, Vaughn Murray. Vaughn and Murray both back. They may be 2 of the best players. I don't think Ryder has the depth to be up at the top, but again, if Iona was in this conference, it would be, I think we'd have a 6 or 7 team race, or maybe we could say a 6 or 7 team race for second place. Rocco, let me stick with you over to the Mid-American Conference, where we actually had 4 teams in the postseason last year, only Ohio in the NCAA tournament, but Buffalo and Toledo were both in the NIT, and Bowling Green even showed up in the CBI last season. Who's winning it this year?
Yeah, last year was a quality year. And unfortunately, Toledo had such a great run and fell apart there the last couple of weeks. But, this year I do think it should go to Buffalo on paper, at least. You know, I'm looking at guys like Sagu and Jonathan Williams and Mbala all back as seniors. They could easily be all MAC players, all 3 of them. Whitesall, I have my doubts about him after Nate Oates left. But I think he's actually beaten my expectations of him by staying in the top 3 of the MAC since Oates has taken off. And he's maintained a lot of the same principles. I think the big question for Buffalo is with Graves leaving, who was one of the last holdovers left from the Oates era, he was clearly their best defender. So they're going to have to figure out how to replace him defensively. But if they can keep that, they were the best defense last year. If they can repeat that, I think they definitely win the league. That's the key.
I like the Buffalo pick. David Ohio, who got the automatic bid last year. Jason Preston is gone. Jason Carter, who started at Ohio, went to Xavier, back in Ohio again.
Yeah.
But where are you going? Are you with Buffalo? Or are you going somewhere else?
I'm going with Ohio. But oh, I really like the Buffalo pick. I don't think Ohio is a runaway pick at all, but you just said it. They were good last year. They had, when you watch them play, it seems like at least on the nights I got them, they had quite a range. Some nights they were incredible. In other nights, you just felt like that they should have been better. If they can be consistently incredible, they can win the league. And that's, I don't know why more teams don't take that advice from me. If you could just be incredible every night, you would win the league. But the thing I love about the Mid-American, and I say this every year, it seems, is there's four or five teams in this league that I think that can win it or be really good on any given night. You got Buffalo, Ohio. I like Akron. I like Toledo. I kind of like Kent State. And I still like Bowling Green a little bit. And one of the things that, and I know we say this every year and we say it throughout the year, is this league so good in the rivalries is that it almost kind of eats itself a little bit and keeps a team from running away with it? And does that hurt their at-large chances? Or is it like sort of like what we think might happen with the Valley? Could those four teams or five teams push the league forward and maybe push someone inside the bubble?
Yeah, I think more often than not, it's the former there. I think usually they start to cannibalize themselves in league, you know, because most years they're not able to get the games out of league to stay up there. Now, Buffalo was able to do it with Oates. They won some big games, but they also just destroyed the metrics. So it's very clear that they were inside the bubble team. If like a Buffalo does that this year, then that opportunity will be there for the league. But I agree. Like this league this year, there's like 6-7 teams with just a ton of experience.
Right.
Bowling Green being one of them, as you said. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of outcomes here. And even if a team like Buffalo has an outstanding November and December, there's a good chance they could go fall like 5 or 6 times in this league.
Yeah.
And that could ruin it that way too.
That's what kills that large spot. Yeah.
Yeah. And what a better way to say it than what I said it is, you might have a team that if they were in another conference could run away from it and stay inside the bubble if they won some big games out of conference. The thing about this league is that you don't have teams that are really inside the bubble, but it's hard to go to Akron and win. It's hard to go to Toledo to win. It's hard to go to Kent to win. It's hard to even win at Ball State and Bowling Green. And you're probably going to trip up 3 or 4 times. It's a lot harder to do that than to run through, say, the Ohio Valley and win, which it's not nearly as hard to do it in a league like that.
Rock, before we move on, I want to talk to you about the three teams that finished, I believe, 10th, 11th, and 12th place last year. All three of them brought in new head coaches. Northern Illinois brought in Rashawn Bruno, who is a highly regarded assistant coach, Arizona State and Florida on his resume. But Tony Barbie coming into Central Michigan and Stan Heath coming into Eastern Michigan. You think either one of those guys has a shot to build something there? Or, you know, is it, you know, that they were at major schools, at least we'll put it that way.
Yeah, well, I think all three of them are going to bring in players because they can all recruit. I think maybe Stan Heath, it would be the best chance of the three. I know he's already had previous stops, but he's done so well in the MAC in the past that he's got that foundation. Kind of like when John Grosche left and went to Illinois, then he came back, and now he's got Akron in the top third of the league. I can see that happening for Heath. I think at Central, you know, you're looking at Tony Barbie. I mean, he's going to bring in a ton of players. He already has transfer-wise. So we'll see how that plays out. That'll be really fascinating to me. And Bruno, he was doing most of the recruiting for Bobby Hurley out here at ASU, but hasn't had the opportunity. So kind of a wild card there.
David, over in the MEAC, a much smaller MEAC, down to only 8 teams this year after they lost 2 teams to the SWAC and 1 over to the North Carolina A&T. We mentioned earlier over to the Big South. Who do you like?
I think it's kind of a 2-horse race, I think, between Morgan State and Norfolk State. I do think that there are 4 leagues we're going to talk about, that, or 3 leagues we're going to talk about today, and this is definitely one of them, to where I just think they're destined for the first four. But I NC Central a little bit, but I just kind of like, I think it's a toss up between Morgan and Norfolk.
Yeah. I mean, when I look at Rocco, when I look at Morgan State, four starters back, led by Malik Miller, only two starters back for Norfolk. I'm on Morgan. I think they're head and shoulders above everybody. Quite honestly, I don't even like Norfolk that close to them.
Yeah, and Morgan State brought in Seventh Woods from former North Carolina, South Carolina guy. Yeah, it's a big talent for the MEAC. I like that pick, actually. I just need to see some evidence, you know, from the coach. They've fallen short in the past, but we'll see. I mean, I like what they've built. It's a great roster. You know, Norfolk won it last year. Robert Jones is a phenomenal coach. Probably deserves to get a bigger job. Quite honestly. And he's built another strong team. I think they'll be difficult to beat when we get to MEAC tournament time. And same with NC Central. You know, I think Moten's done a heck of a job getting this team together. And Eric Boone's back, transfer from Georgia Southern. So those are probably the three I'm looking at the closest. But Morgan State's a good pick. I won't argue with it. But I think I'm actually going to pick NC Central to win the MEAC tournament.
Okay. Oh, just to steal the auto bit. Okay. I like it.
Just steal the bit. Okay. Yeah.
Let me stick with you here. Move on to one of our favorite conferences, the Northeast Conference, only conference in the country that has never won a game in the round of 64. And this is not going to be the year that changes. But Wagner is your defending regular season champion. Mount St. Mary's, your defending tournament champion. Bryant was in the CBI last year. Where are you going?
Great question. So I think Bryant and Wagner are in their own class going into this year. And I think it mainly is because Alex Morales is back for Wagner. I think he's the best player in the league. Wagner also played outstanding defensively throughout the year. Elijah Ford's another fifth-year senior. And they've got just, you know, they finally won the league title. I think this, you probably know the stat, Chad. What was the last time they won a league title? Maybe it hadn't happened.
Right? I'm not sure. Did they win one when Danny Hurley was there even? I'm not sure if they won a league title there when he was there.
Yeah, maybe a share.
Yeah. I mean, you had the then Blackbirds that were sort of champs of the league. But
yeah, so this Wagner team, you know, they're coming with a couple transfers added from Duquesne and Pacific. Raekwon Wodgers comes up from D2 to help with the scoring. It's a boatload of seniors I think they'll score it better than last year is what I'm getting at. And the defense is there. So I'm going to go with Wagner to win it. Now, Bryant, on the other hand, is probably the more talented with all that said. Peter Kiss is back and Hurtado and they've got Charles Pride back as well, bringing in another crop of transfers led by Tyler Brelsford from George Washington, and Greg Calixte from George Mason, a couple George schools coming through. So anyway, Bryant, I love Grasso. They're going to get after people, but they got to prove they can do it in the NEC tournament. That's where they've been falling short in recent years.
Yeah, David, Mount St. Mary's, who won the conference tournament, does have four starters back, but their top scorer, Sean Key, is the one who's gone. Nana Apoku, I think I said it right. He was the conference MVP, defensive player of the year in the conference. He is back. I also kind of keep an eye on Long Island. They've got a great backcourt of Ty Flowers and Errol Penn, but I don't know that they've got the depth to be much more than that. But where are you going? You going Wagner, Bryant, or somewhere else?
I like both those picks. I'm actually going to go with Wagner to win the league, but I like Bryant a lot. And this is one of our favorite conferences. The venues and the atmosphere in those venues there's just nothing else like it. There really isn't. The NEC has a free downloadable app. All of the games are broadcast. You can watch it on your phone. If you don't download that app and watch all of the games, every single one of them, then you're not a true college basketball fan.
David, we are not going to be picking the regular season champion should they slip up to get an at-large bid out of the Northeast Conference this year.
No, because I don't think the committee just does not appreciate.
But however, the next conference, I'm ready to say that if the regular season champion, the team I'm picking to win the regular season championship slips up, I think they could very well be at-large bid worthy. And I'm talking the Ohio Valley and Belmont.
I agree with that. Belmont is probably the most unrewarded team over the last couple of years. They finished first and won the conference tournament 2 years ago. The OVC, one of the first conference tournaments to be completed, it was actually complete before the shutdown, did not get to play in the NCAA tournament, was first place a year ago. I think they only lost 3 or 4 games all year. The problem was one of those games was in the conference championship game, and they had put together or tried to put together a good out-of-conference schedule. A lot of those games got canceled. They went from looking like they could win a game in the round of 64, that's how good they were, to not getting a chance to play in the round of 64, and then not even being selected for the NIT. But this is a very good Belmont team. They've got about 2 years worth of experience of being, you know, a bubble caliber team back this year. And I think they could do it. And I think they've put together the kind of schedule that'll give them that chance. The one thing that they do have to kind of get it done out of conference, Chad, because if you look at this league, teams 4 through 10 are just awful. Like, we're talking quad 4. So they need to get their wins early if that's going to happen.
4 through 10 might be awful. It's down to only 10 teams. But Rocco, I mean, I think 2 and 3, if you're looking at, you know, your defending conference tournament champions, Morehead State, you're looking at Murray State. Honestly, SEMO is kind of a dark horse with everybody back as well. But are you with Belmont and you think they're at large good with everything they've got back?
I am. I'm with you on Belmont. I think they'll need to take a significant step forward to be at large good. And I think it's going to boil down to 1 week in November. They're going to go to LSU on the 22nd. And then they're in the big tournament in the ESPN events tournament in Orlando. They got to play Drake in the opener. They could end up playing Kansas.
Oh, that's a huge game.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. So that first game against Drake, it's like, I hate the way they do these brackets. Like, why would they do that to us? But because I would love to see them play in the finals, right? So anyway, they're going to have to play Drake, and then the loser of that game is not going to get as good a games as the next two. And then they got another chance with St. Louis, but of course St. Louis has the injury. So, yeah, Belmont's going to really have to get it done quickly. My other concern is last year at the end of the year, Musinski clearly wasn't himself. He had a back injury. Even in the OVC tournament, he tried to play through it. He wasn't playing nearly the amount of minutes in those games. They almost fell to Jack State. Of course, they did fall to Morehead State. You know, with a back thing, I feel like that could pop up again. It could re-aggravate any time. So I'm really going to be watching his health carefully, because obviously he's the key to making them from either like a team in the top 100 to a team in the top 40.
Yeah, but, you know, if he is healthy, I'm with you, as a top 40 team, but they got to do something. You say they got to take a step up. They were 26-4 last year. No postseason bid. I mean, it was a hell of a record. If they're 26-4 after 30 games this year and get up to, you know, 28 wins, it's going to be tough to leave them out. Should they do like last year and lose to Morehead State or Murray State or somebody in the conference tournament finals?
Yeah, the only problem last year was like they had 9 non-league games, but the best team they played was 142, and all the other teams they played were 200 plus.
I don't think that was their original schedule.
Yeah, like, exactly. It's not their original schedule. It's just one of the several inconsistencies of last season.
Yeah.
Yep. David, over in the Patriot League, we saw some of the best teams in the country last year based on net numbers because they only played each other.
Oh, it's amazing.
Navy played a total of 5 teams all of last season, yet got 16 games in, or 18 games in, I'm sorry. Only 5 teams. We're back to a regular Patriot League schedule thing for this year, but what do you like in the Patriot League?
Colgate, again, was ranked in the I don't think their net is going to be quite as good this year, but I do think that they're going to be the best team in the conference. It's not quite a runaway pick, though. I there's nobody else I like as much as Colgate.
Okay. Well, Jordan Burns, who was the conference player of the year, is gone, Rocco. Everyone else is back. Or do you want to go somewhere else? You know, looking at a team like BU with everybody back. I don't know.
I trust Colgate in the system that that they run there with Matt Langle at coach. It's a pick and roll offense. They get tons of open shots, especially in the Patriot League. We saw what happened in that tournament game. They built like a 14-point lead against Arkansas in the first half. It was awesome. And then Arkansas turned up the full court press and blitzed them out of the bubble, yeah. I guess. But this Colgate team in this league, yes, they're going to lose Burns. Everybody else comes back. You know, Jack Ferguson had that crazy stat last year. It was 51% from three. They're going to get him more looks this year. I think some of this is going to, like, maybe not only maintain their per possession numbers, if you're deep into the analytics, but also, you know, spread the love a little more, make it a little harder on defenses.
Rocco, let me stick with you over to the SoCon, which is a conference we've, for years now, been talking about is right there on the bubble for getting an at-large bid. I think wasn't Greensboro the first team out 3 years back now, but you know, how about the SoCon this year? Who's going to win it, and are they at-large bid worthy?
Wofford got in on the first ballot. They were a seven seed that year.
Yep. So,
right. And then we also had the 2020 no tournament year when ETSU probably would have been inside the bubble. This league's been building and building. Unfortunately, this just looks like a year that everybody's kind of going through changes, and we don't have that elite team that stands out. Doesn't mean it's not impossible. Like, you know, Silvio D'Souza transferred to Chattanooga. If he actually plays up to his talent, stays out of fights and all that stuff.
No chair throwing, you know.
Yeah, no chair throwing. They've got two other all-conference players in David Jean Baptiste and Malachi Smith. Malachi Smith was one of the most efficient players in the SoCon last year. That gives Chattanooga a pretty high ceiling if it all can come together. You also have Bob Ritchie back in the conference and three really good players at Furman still with Jalen Slauson, Alex Hunter, and Mike Bothwell. You have to give them their respect. It would have been great if Noah Gurley stuck around instead of going to play for Nate Oates, although you can't fault him for that. So those are the two to me that stand out above the rest, but I don't think like they're that elite to where like a Wofford or an ETSU could knock them off or maybe even steal the bid at the end of the year.
Or Mercer, who made a run to the conference tournament finals last year, has Neftali Alvarez back. That there's, yes. I think could happen. David, where are you at with this league?
I'm kind of exactly where Rocco's at. I like Chattanooga, but unlike the past 3 or 4 years, I guess, I don't think we're going to get a team that's on the bubble or inside the bubble. I just think it's taking a step back this year. I still love the league, though.
Yeah. I got a fun fact for this year's SoCon. None of the 10 head coaches have been to the NCAA tournament as a head coach. So
that's whoever. Wow.
Whoever wins it will be going for the first time.
Yeah. UNC Greensboro, who made the bid last year, their coach is gone. Wes Miller is gone. Bring in Mike Jones from Radford, though. I think that's a good hire.
I think it's a great hire. Yeah. It might not be his year immediately, but it won't take long.
David, a conference that has, had some change this year. Its commissioner its conference commissioner is the chairman of the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee, though, so they're guaranteed 4 or 5 bids on that alone. The now 8 team, down from 13 teams, 8 team Southland Conference, where the perennial powers of Sam Houston State, Stephen F. Austin, they're gone.
Yes.
Where are you looking? Hashtag go Colonels. Where are you looking?
with the Colonels.
Okay.
Like with Nichols. Tom Burnett, as you mentioned, selection committee chairman, we're certainly appreciative of him. He came on and did a podcast with us. We didn't say this the other night, and if you're watching, we apologize. You will not need to leave the room at all. at least not until you're putting together the 16 line.
Yeah. Abilene Christian. Abilene Christian was your defending conference tournament champion. They're also off to the whack. Rocco, though, I know you've got some ties to Southeastern Louisiana. Do you think that this is now their chance with all those big boys?
Ties to Southeast Louisiana.
He's got friends there, don't you not?
I like Southeast Louisiana. Okay. Well, I knew Coach Ladner, but now he's at Southern Miss.
Oh, okay. But never mind. I take it back.
but no, they actually are my dark horse this year. I got a dark horse in every league, and they're my pick. I think Keon Clergeau is my preseason player of the year. And with that, they also bring in some interesting JUCOs. You never know with JUCOs. It's really impossible to forecast. So if it the year they were good a couple of years back, they did it with all JUCO guys. If it happens this year, it's going to be because of that, because nobody can really predict where they're going to go. But with Clergeau, they got a chance. And then if the supporting cast is nice, then keep the door open. That's all I'll say.
New Orleans, Troy Green, I think he's going to be your player of the year, but you know, we'll see.
We'll see. New Orleans is a good contender as well. Yeah. They've been really consistent lately. So we'll see how the season plays out.
Let me stick with you, Rocco, and go to a conference with a real good chance of sending a team to Dayton for the first four in the Southwestern Athletic Conference. An expanded conference this year as they stretch out into Florida, bringing in both Bethune-Cookman and Florida A&M.
Yes, welcome Rattlers and welcome Wildcats. It's good to have you in the SWAC. They'll be getting used to flying west because they're easily the furthest east teams in this footprint. But I think when it comes to the year, you know, Florida A&M's got a pretty good program. I don't think they're going to be in this upper echelon of the SWAC.
All five starters back, but I think the SWAC is actually a step up for the MEAC. And they were only 8-12 in the MEAC last year with these five guys. But
yeah. Yeah,
that's right. That's right. And I think there's like a new dedication to SWAC basketball as a whole. You know, it was really awesome to see a couple months ago the SWAC and the Pac-12 did a deal where Pac-12 teams are going to come to the SWAC. Hmm. That starts next year, and it's a 6-year program. So every Pac-12 school at some point will play at a SWAC school. Obviously, we've already seen SWAC schools play at Pac-12, but it's a home and home. Anyway, there's just more and more dedication and resources going to the SWAC in general. It's really awesome for the league, and hopefully someday we'll see them get above the 31st or 32nd best league. As for this year, I'm not going to pick against this Johnny Jones Texas Southern team. I think they've got the best core coming back, although Prairie View will be right there. Adding in McNeese State transfer AJ Lawson, who's going to take over for Michael Weathers, I think will fill the void enough to get them over the hump.
Yeah, I like the Texas Southern pick. You just looked at what happened last year. We had two teams go undefeated during the regular season because they didn't play each other, Prairie View and Jackson State. So that's what right. happens in the conference tournament? We were looking for a conference tournament final between two undefeated teams in conference. Instead, Texas Southern wins the whole conference tournament. Jackson State, who was the other undefeated team, they lost their best score. I think they take a step back. But David, are you with us with Texas Southern?
I like that. Yeah, I am. You know, Prairie View is another team to kind of keep an eye on. And Mississippi Valley State, do not sleep on them. They could be on the board, on the Hoops HD board.
Two interesting new head coaches I should note in this conference. First of all, Arkansas Pine Bluff brings in Solomon Bozeman, Todd Bozeman's son.
Oh, wow. I did not realize that.
And
wow.
Bethune-Cookman, Reggie Theus has found himself a job. So we'll see if he can build a Bethune-Cookman team that has never been on the radar for the NCAA tournament into something in a few years here.
Yeah, and that was due to, you know, Ryan Ritter leaving to go to Tennessee Martin in the OVC, which we didn't mention during the OVC portion.
Right. Correct. Thank you. David, let me stick with you and the Summit League. A league that, you know, last year was all about South Dakota State, South Dakota, North Dakota State. We all kind of forgot about some team called Oral Roberts who found themselves in the Sweet 16.
Yes, and I said this last year. I'll say it again. I was surprised when Oral Roberts won the Summit League tournament. I was astounded when they did what they did in the NCAA tournament, and it wasn't just a Sweet 16 run. It was a possession away from the Elite Eight. It was preposterous. I mean, what they did, and Rocco kind of called it. I think he picked them to win the. He didn't call the Sweet 16 run, but he did call them to win the conference tournament.
He kept telling us about Obinor and Max Abmas. I mean, Obinor's going. Yeah. Max Abmas is back though. So
and I think my response was okay. Yeah, sure, whatever. But no, I mean, and are they kind of being underestimated again? I was a little surprised to see them picked. Was it fourth or fifth at Media Day? Now again, South Dakota State is who I'm picking, so I might be a little bit hypocritical there, but why not more Oral Roberts love? I realize they lost a really high level key player, but they've got a lot coming back, and they were 3 points away from the, was it 3 points? I think it was 3 points away from the Elite Eight.
They just missed a Rocco. I'm kind of with David on South Dakota State. I also like North Dakota State, but maybe we can't rate off Oral Roberts. I don't know.
Yeah, you can't write off Oral Roberts. I think it's a 1A, 1B, 1C situation. The craziest thing is South Dakota State loses nobody. North Dakota State loses nobody. And Oral Roberts only loses opener. Obviously, it's a huge loss. But they backfilled opener with Isaac McBride from Vanderbilt, a SEC caliber player, and Trey Phipps from Oklahoma. Not the same positions, but they're going to basically rework the rotations. And so they're gonna have some players. And, of course, Max Asemus, I mean, I guess he put on 15 pounds this offseason. He's getting his body ready for the NBA. He's big-time NBA prospect that pulled his name out at the last minute. So you're going to have a heck of a three-horse race, I think. I think South Dakota State is going to be very talented offensively. I think North Dakota State probably be your best defensive team. And you know me, I err on the side of defense when picking the bid. So I'm going to go the Bison.
Yes, don't make that mistake.
I will not make that mistake. The Bison, they get the bid. I'll take South Dakota State to win the regular season. Oral Roberts will be all up in everybody's business the whole time. And then I also want you guys to pay attention to another special team this year, and that's going to be the Kansas City Ruse.
Okay.
Kansas City Ruse. They bring in Anderson Kopp. They bring in Evan Gilliard from New Mexico State. But it's more about Billy Donlin. They're literally one of the only teams in this league interested in defense. They will have the best defense again. And they gave a lot of teams fits. And the reason that I'm also talking about them is I had multiple teams this summer purposely tell me that they were avoiding scheduling Kansas City because they have a lot of hidden talent on that team. So just keep your eye on them. We'll see if it plays out that way. But I got them as a solid fourth place.
Wow. I thought the team you were going to mention also, Dave, we got to give a shout out to the only new member of Division I this year, coming straight, got an NCAA waiver to go straight from D3 to D1, and that's the St. Thomas Tommies joining the Summit League.
Yeah. We'll keep an eye on them.
They actually were so good at their conference at D3, especially in football, that their conference threw them out because that's how good they were. And that's one of the reasons why they actually, the Summit League gave
got the waiver to go all the way to D1. And I that's a great story. I hope that they're a success with this level. This is always one of the more fun leagues. You kind of think that it should get more exposure than what it does because it is so much fun. And some of the rivalries that we didn't even talk about, the North Dakota, North Dakota State, the South Dakota State. I mean, if you're just ever looking for a good game to watch, it's almost to the point to where that is destination programming for me now. And then this is just a great league. I love it.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Rocco, let me go back to you to go over to the Sun Belt Conference. Conference, I think, has some fascinating pieces at the top of it this year. Thankfully, got rid of the division format it used last year, single division this year in the Sun Belt. I think there could be a four-team race here, at least a three-team race.
I'm glad you said fascinating because that's a perfect word to describe this league because I think there are four teams you really got to zero in on here at the top. We'll start with Georgia State, who brings back basically the whole core. They lose Ryan Boyce, but everybody else back. They have five double-digit scores from last year, so they're balanced attack. Jordan Rawls was a really nice piece at Western Kentucky. He's going to come in, probably even off the bench. I mean, it's just a ton of veterans. So, they're going to be solid. Can Rob Lanier guide them to the tournament? That's the last question. They had an awesome regular season, but they fell short in the Sun Belt tournament last year at the hands of App State, as did several others. Then you have Texas State, a team that was in first for a lot of last season under first year coach Derek Johnson. And the Bobcats, I think, will once again have the best defense in the league. So there we go. Of course, I'm going to like the team with the best defense. They bring back all five starters. All of them are, Sewell's gone, but they four of the five starters and the five projected to start this year are all seniors. So I think that's a team to be reckoned with. And then you've got the two super big wild cards. And I'm saying super big because the Louisiana Cajuns are bringing in Jordan Brown, who's a former five-star All-American recruit from Arizona, coming to the Sun Belt, his fourth go-around in college basketball. Antoine Jones was a sixth or seventh man at Memphis. Greg Williams Jr. had a really good year at St. John's. So can they get all those pieces to fit?
If Cedric Russell hadn't gone to Ohio State, that they might be my pick to win the conference, honestly, with all that. But
exactly, yeah. So, but you definitely can't count them out. That's a ton of talent.
Yeah.
And South Alabama brings in six power six transfers, albeit maybe one or two only got quality minutes in those places. They still had the talent to get on those rosters at one point and now trying to revive their careers in the Sun Belt. And then you got Greg Parham, who we loved at VMI, who I really think will fill it up for the South Alabama team. And Gonsalves, you know, was a 10 points per game guy last year for South Alabama. So can Richie Riley make it all fit? I think they're going to be an offensive showcase, be a lot of fun to watch, a lot of seniors. But I don't know if they can get it done defensively. They've always had a defense that's in the 200s.
David, he didn't even mention the defending tournament champions from App State, who have everybody back as well.
Yep.
Could be the fifth team or sixth team. David, I'm going Georgia State. Where are you going with this league?
Georgia State.
Okay. Yeah. So I think we all agree on Georgia State, but there is a lot of teams that could press them. But I would not be surprised to see, like last year, a team come out of a third, fourth, fifth seed and win the conference tournament.
Right. I wouldn't either.
I would also watch out for Arkansas State as well. Desi Sills came over from Arkansas. They have a lot of their core back from last year, and they were one of the hottest teams in this league at the end. So it's going to be awesome. It's going to be a lot of interesting storylines in this Sun Belt.
Now, David, if we hadn't been any conference movement this season, we'd be looking at our last conference here, the WAC, and talking about how New Mexico State is just going to run everybody out of the building, especially with Grand Canyon losing everything. The problem is, For New Mexico State, and what makes this a fascinating conference is Stephen F. Austin comes in, Sam Houston State comes in, Lamar comes in, Abilene Christian comes in. And you know, some of the other teams like Seattle and Utah Valley are improving. What is your thoughts on the WAC this season? Is it New Mexico State, or can one of these other newbies here challenge them?
I still really like New Mexico State. I think that they will win, but the gap between them and Grand Canyon, well, the gap between those two and everybody else isn't nearly as big as what it was. I love SFA. I think that they're really good. I'm glad that them and Abilene Christian, it was – when you look at the best of the Southland and the best of the WAC, it's kind of nice that they're together. I kind of hate that the Southland got gutted, but this is going to be kind of a fun league. I still think you got one of the worst programs. The bottom is still really bad.
Well, Chicago State is in their last year in this conference. They will be gone after this season. They'll be replaced by Southern Utah, one of the top teams in the Big Sky. Right. So we're going to make it even better next year.
Yeah, it is. I think Grand Canyon might have something. I know that they're in complete reset mode. I don't think that they're on the level of SFA or New Mexico State, but I, like you said, Seattle, Abilene Christian got totally gutted, didn't they?
The top two players are gone. Their head coach is gone. I don't think they go back to the tournament.
Right. I think it's New Mexico State, but Stephen F. Austin is good enough to keep pace.
I agree with that. New Mexico, Stephen Austin, maybe Grand Canyon if they can reload Rocco. You know, you got some Seattle ties. This may be one of Seattle's best teams in a while, but they may be hurt by the fact that there's so much other strength this conference suddenly.
Yeah, I think both are true. Darian Trammell, probably the best player in the WAC. Some are calling him WAC Player of the Year preseason. Awesome for Seattle U. Another cool thing for Seattle U is they're going to play 9 of their home games at the brand new Climate Pledge Arena. So that will be really good, I think, for the program. Probably not going to get a ton of fans in there, but it'll be really, really nice and a good opportunity to showcase their program. So hoping for good things for them. I do think New Mexico State's got the most talent. I think they should still be the favorite and probably will win the regular season crown. But I like the fact that Stephen F. Austin was able to get Rhodey Ware, David Cachalreese, and Gavin Kensemule out of the transfer portal and to come back. All three of them had gone and visited other schools, decided SFA was their home. They're all seniors. They've all played together. Nigel Hawkins is theirs too. Still a couple other layered in pieces from the Big 12 come in. Latrell Jossel was a bench guy for Kansas, and Jonathan Aku from A&M, actually SEC player. So I think SFA could actually be the glue team that gets it done in the WAC tournament in their first year.
Yeah, we know Mexico State fell apart last year. They were absolutely awful. End up 12-8, and I think that they were worse, a lot worse than that even.
Had to play in a different state.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, they were playing in a different.
But I think the talent is there with Jabari Rice, Johnny McCants, bringing in Teddy Allen from Nebraska. He was a 16 point per game guy at a Big Ten school before he decided to quit, basically. But
Donnie Tillman too. He's been all over the Pac-12.
Yeah. But if New Mexico State, if that team gels, they run away with this conference. I could see it blowing up again, and Stephen F. Austin or Seattle or even the Lopes, you know, they were stealing this big.
Well, how much of that was due to like the COVID protocol and the shutdown and being in another state? I just think that there was so much working to their disadvantage that I'm willing to just give them a complete mulligan on last year.
I had
injuries too.
Yeah.
A couple other points on the WAC. First of all, Dixie State, one of the transitional teams. We may not be calling it Dixie State much longer. Apparently, they recommend a new name for the school. They've been, for about a year now, they've been saying they wanted to get rid of the word Dixie. Utah Tech is the recommended name. Could become official as early as next month. We'll let you know if we suddenly talk about Utah Tech. That's the school we're talking about, same school. Yeah. Sam Houston, just new to this conference. This is just as we've been on this podcast. I'm reading this news here. Sam Houston, along with Jacksonville State, New Mexico State, also in this conference, and Liberty, are all receiving invites apparently to Conference USA to try to save that conference. So this conference may suddenly, Sam Houston may be in and out of this conference very quickly if this happens over the next year or two.
Okay, that is interesting.
I don't like breaking up Sam Houston and Stephen F. Austin either. I really think I like those two teams together. They're
great. No, I don't know what to make of that.
I do like.
I don't understand how that's a better place than where they are now. Chicago State's available.
Anyhow, on that note, we have finished all of the conferences. What I do is run through both of you here. Any other final thoughts about the under-the-radar leagues in full? Any other thoughts about anything we discussed tonight or anything else you want to throw out there? Rocco, let me let you go first.
Yeah, I guess final thought-wise, you know, I think this is going to be an awesome year for all college basketball, but I think it really comes down to the depth of the sport, and it shows up in these leagues. So we're talking about 22 leagues tonight. I've listed 49 that I think are all worth keeping an eye on for probably not all 49 to be in the at-large conversation. I think a lot of them will play their way out in the first month or two, but definitely quality caliber teams that if they do get into the tournament, especially knowing who their coaches are, knowing if they're a good defensive team, all those things that you look for in March, could advance in the NCAA tournament. And that's honestly probably almost double the number of a normal year. So I think that it provides a lot of opportunity. You know, I'm just looking at the list here. There's some teams I didn't even mention, like North Texas and Santa Clara, division there. But anyway, there are a lot of depth teams with quality experience, great coaches. So expect the unexpected. It's just not going to be a lot of shoe-ins this year.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, I think we could see even more wins than we've seen in the past few years out of these teams once they get to the NCAA tournament. That they are, I love the Cinderella upset stories in conference tournaments, but I also love seeing the favorite win because you know that's the team that really has a good shot to advance. Although I guess what we saw in the Summit League last year makes that not true, because when your fourth place team almost makes the Elite Eight, who knows anymore? But so maybe we could see more of both. See if Cinderella, you know, win the conference tournament and then make a run in the NCAA. David, your final thoughts on?
Well, yeah, I love the Cinderella upsets. It's been a while since I've heard that story, but Cinderella was in fact awesome. She just wasn't given a chance to show it. When a 6 seed beats a 1 seed in a conference tournament, that's not a Cinderella upset. That's just a crappy upset. They're a team that could be a Cinderella is once again denied. Anyway, that's a tangent that's over. But to echo what the two of you just said, we've been following Under the Radar. How long have we been doing this? And even longer than that. I just feel that coming into this year, there are so many good teams. More than what we're used to. We started off with the Valley, but there's more. There's Belmont. There's the three or four in the MAC. There's New Mexico State, who we just talked about. I mean, when you look at the sheer number of teams that you look at them and you're like, that team could conceivably play their way onto the bubble It's a lot more than what we're used to. We're normally used to it to being maybe three or four. I could think of maybe 10.
Rocco just reminded me in the chat that as we go through our Under the Radar podcast, we do one of these each week. Once the regular season gets started, so a couple weeks from now, we'll be starting these. We will in each of our shows be doing a top 10. Neither David or I bothered voting for a preseason top 10, but Rocco did throw a poll out there. So his poll wins, actually. So let me just put down for everybody real quick. These are the top, I don't have it on a screen share for it. I didn't get it even set up, but these are the top 10 under the radar teams from everything you've heard from us tonight, as voted by Rocco Miller and approved by the rest of us because we didn't vote. Number one is Drake. Number two, Loyola Chicago. We got Louisiana Tech coming in third, Belmont four, UAB 5, Northern Iowa 6, Missouri State 7, Buffalo 8, Western Kentucky 9, New Mexico State 10, honorable mentions to Liberty, Ohio U, UC Irvine, and Iona. Well, the one I mainly disagree with you, Rocco, is Western Kentucky. I don't think they're a top 10. I would have put Liberty on that list.
Don't forget the Gauchos. I mean, who weren't, there are a lot of good teams this year. I mean,
It's hard to list them all. Gauchos were actually next on my list, followed by Stephen F. Austin. So there you go.
Yeah. Okay. But on that note, I do want to thank everybody for joining us. Again, if you want to see any other conferences that, other than the 22 we discussed tonight, they're up there on the season preview tab. We'll be back with one more preseason podcast later on this week. It's going to be a preseason bracketology. We are going to show you exactly what the tournament field is going to look like in March, so you will not even have to bother watching the entire season. But on behalf of Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org, David Griggs over there, one way. I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back and talk to you again real soon.